Someone said, to err is human, or to misbehave is human. To sin or to go astray is human. But to blame is more human. Truly, the blame game is a subsequent product of human sinful nature. I don't know if you have experience to be being blamed in your younger years, in your when a flower vase had been broken, or a plate, or a cup, and who did this? The cat, the dog did it, something like that. Trivia. All right, listen. Who committed the first sin? Adam or Eve? Adam, raise your hand. Eve, raise your hand. Was it Adam or Eve? All right. Well, Eve, the first woman, was the first mankind who eat the forbidden fruit, right? But do you accept that Adam committed the very first sin of humanity and not Eve? Yes. Well, what sin did Adam committed originally? In the beginning, the Lord instructed. He said, you are not supposed to eat the fruit of this tree. He instructed who? Adam. He told Adam, do not eat this forbidden fruit. But the serpent enticed and deceived Eve. And Adam was observing, was looking. He was there. He was there with Eve when the serpent deceived Eve. When Eve ate the forbidden fruit, he was observing. He might even asking, masarap ba? Matamis? Masim? I don't know. But he did not mention there, right? Adam was silent. He did nothing to stop Eve. It's inconceivable that while Eve was talking to the serpent, Adam was just looking somewhere. I don't think that happened. He might have been observing what's happening. So when Eve ate the forbidden fruit and tasted it as maybe delicious, she gave some forbidden fruit to Adam, where Adam munched it, ate it, some of them. So who sinned first? It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to 14, let's read together. Therefore, just as sin entered the whole world through one man, it did not say one woman, through one man in death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam. Eve is not mentioned here, eh? Who is the pattern of the one to come? So, it implied that Adam committed the first sin. It's true, Eve was the one who was deceived by the ancient serpent. But how did sin enter the world through Adam? How come? Eve was the first who ate the forbidden fruit, but Adam was the first to commit sin. Even before Eve ate the forbidden fruit. What sin did Adam commit? If we know the good we should do and not do it, we sin. It says in James 4:17, if anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for them. It is called sin of omission. The first sin of Adam was sin of omission. That is, Adam was given the command not to eat the forbidden fruit. He saw it before Eve disobeyed God's command not to eat the forbidden fruit, but Adam did nothing. He said nothing to warn his wife. And being the husband, Adam was accountable doing nothing when Eve sinned. In this generation where, when minding your own business, generation of minding your own business, the sin of omission is often thoughtlessly committed. We hesitate to warn others about eternal punishment. Of course, we just don't randomly warn others, talk about their eternal punishment. We don't do that. Truly, when we sense that a person is easily offended or aggressive, we have to be cautious. But how can we discern this antagonistic, hostile, unfriendly attitude? We've got to pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because our manner, our attitude in witnessing, the way we share our testimony about Christ, is also practical proof of the wonderful transformation that the Lord has done in our life. The mandate of witnessing is not to be forced. It has to be originated. It should originate from the Lord, the empowerment of the Lord. Furthermore, when surrounded by hostile personalities, there's this temptation to respond aggressively. It's there. So pray for the empowerment, the filling of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit bear fruit in our life, not just love, not just joy, not just peace, but also goodness, kindness, self-control. When we sense that we cannot control our emotion, our anger, when there are aggressive people around, it should remind us, Lord, I think I'm in control of myself. I think I need your empowerment. Lord, I don't like this feeling. I don't like it. Apostle Paul testified, what we want to do, we cannot do. What we do not want to do, we do. We know that it's good to be kind, but sometimes we are forced by our human nature to be aggressive too. Hostility, it entices the evil desire to be aggressive, then conceives and gives birth to sin. Let's read again verse 13 and 14. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. Verse 13. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Verse 14. But each person is tempted where they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. That's eternal death. That evil desire, we are tempted to respond according to the aggressiveness of the person. We have this feeling like, I have my right. We do not like to be looked down or pushed down. But by faith we believe God is good. Amen. So when we are hostile, we just ignore the Lord. We just ignore the goodness of the Lord in us. God is perfect, right? When we are enticed to retaliate, it exposes that we are not fully submitted to the Lord, or we have partial submission to the Lord, or none at all. God, the judgment of God is righteous. When He judges, it's right. But sometimes we are biased, we are prejudiced. When we are biased and prejudiced, we just disregarded the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in us. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Lord sent the Spirit of Christ into our lives. And when the Holy Spirit is not working in our lives, we just ignore Him. God is perfect in His ways and activities, and everything He does, it's perfect. But we avoid godly help when sinful instinct dictates mediocrity or inferior effort in us. When we are thinking, tama na yan, pwede na yan, okay na yan, that's mediocrity. And we just didn't ask the Lord, because the Lord's ways, His ways are perfect, His activities, meaning it is us who is working, doing the things of mediocrity. But when the Lord is working in our lives, even if other people would see it as kulang pa, but we sense that joy, we sense that peace in us when we did it, we know that it's the Lord who did it through us. And God never entertains impure ideas, and He rejects evil desires. Conversely, our instinct, our tendency, our thoughts and effort, we prefer otherwise. Can you accept that God does not cause anyone to fall to sinfulness? He cannot be cheated by evil. He cannot be tempted by evil. God is worthy. He is excellent to trust for our eternal life and physical lifestyle in everything. Well, can you believe that God cares also for our lifestyle in this present world? Do you think God cares what you wear? God cares what you eat? God cares what you think, what you watch, where you go, where you buy, what you buy, what you dream of? Do you think He cares for that? If He cares, but why is it that God still allows struggles, difficulties, and challenges? That mindset is mindset of being spoiled brat, all right? Life on earth is temporary. Again, the deity, it cannot be fixed. It is changing. It also exemplifies temporary life on earth. There are unpleasant, good and bad events, good and bad situations, good and bad circumstances. Those are temporary. And this good or unpleasant or bad experiences, we experience those unpleasant experiences. Those are just but a glimpse of eternal punishment. So when you are hurting, the Lord is reminding us in eternity there is eternal kind of unpleasant experience. But the pleasant and good experiences, wonderful experiences, when you are eating, you feel good. When you are watching, you feel good. When you travel, you, you, you see wonderful places, you wonderful experiences when you win a game, you have that feeling of victory, or when you finish whatever you are doing, there's this fulfillment. That is just a fraction sample of heavenly life. So these bad experiences and good experiences, it practically help us remember that there are eternal things like those we experience, bad or good. And God has designed eternal glorious adventure in heaven for believers. Amen. Eternal glorious adventure. Just think of that most glorious experience that you have when you travel. Most glorious experience that you have, young people, when you are next to your infatuation cross. Those things. There is more. If you can experience that palpitating kind of heart, there is more, much wonderful when we see face to face God. God enable us to experience those experiences in this temporary life, meaning by faith we can believe that. But if you cannot just imagine those kind of things yet, just yet, pray for increase of faith. God allows us, He allows problems, He allows struggles, He allows those things we just cannot, we wish that we just cannot experience, to test us. It's not for Him to test our faith, not for Him to know our faith. He knows already the level of our faith. He knows how small or how strong our faith is. But it's us who do not know. So the testing that the Lord gives helps us evaluate if we really have faith in Him, if we are growing in our faith in Him, if we have active faith in Jesus Christ, we persevere if we have active faith in Jesus Christ. We persevere. Perseverance, it produces spiritual maturity. So if you sense that it's hard to persevere, Lord, 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 please increase my faith. Don't allow me to give in to this problem. Don't allow me to turn my back to You. God allows challenges proportionate to the amount of faith we have in Him. So if there are five struggles you have here, the amount of faith may be five. So your faith is not stronger than your, or lesser than your problem that the Lord allows. The more the Lord give us heavier problem, the more we grow strong in our faith. If you have been into physical fitness, going to the gym or having your dumbbells or something like that, the more you lift weight, you can see your muscles grow stronger. If you are a runner, walker, the more you run longer hours, the more you grow in resistance, something like that. God allows us for us to know our faith. But when you sense that your concerns of life, what is your concern these days? If you sense that your concerns of life is so heavy to bear, remember Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says in Romans 10, 17, consequently, faith comes from the hearing of message. The message is heard through the word about Christ, meaning the more we read the Word of God, the more we grow strong in our faith. But the message is saying, Apostle Paul was saying here, is the gospel of Christ. And faith in Him is manifested in the practice of obedience to His instruction for a godly lifestyle. When the Lord give us eternal life, we become children of God. As children of God, he gave us instruction how to live as children of God in this temporary world. God gave commands according to the level of faith that we have. If you are new in faith, the Lord would not say to you, "Hey, Lorenzo, you are already a Christian when you accepted Jesus Christ. Now I want you to become a preacher." He didn't say that to me immediately. It was after many years of struggle that the Lord let me sense his calling. So the amount of faith you have in him, he will give you something at first you would resist. Most of the time we ignore him. Why? Because we just cannot see the whole picture of his plan until we obey. Most often, practical commands are the things that we struggle with. Here is something that the Lord would give us, all of us. The Bible teaches about tithes and offerings, right? But many, those who went to the seminary, would argue, how much would I give? Is it 10%? Does the Bible really teaches 10%? But in the New Testament, there's no giving of tithes. Those complaints, even seminarians who think they are going to be pastors, is a struggle of faith that they don't understand. Faith is you trust that the Lord would bless you even more no matter how you obey. Or it's not about how you legally, logically explained what you did. Now, is it 10% or 20%? Or 90%. Somebody gave 90% and God blessed them more, but practically. I tell you, there are many in this sanctuary are giving more than 10% in their life. They just do not need to brag what they experience because they are full of joy and they give. This is why when the time that we stopped meeting in person, people are still giving their tithes, giving their offerings to God, because nobody is watching, but the Lord knows the Lord would bless them even more. Disobedience exposed the need of increase of faith in confident and increase in confidence in his plan. When the Lord says, "Test me on this," one thing that you can test the Lord, give me my portion, my tithe, if I would not open the floodgates of heaven, and there will be no much room for you to store your blessing. Who among you have problem sorting out their clothes? Who among you have problem sorting out their shoes? Do you have problem sorting out? That's overflow of God's blessing that we just cannot easily appreciate. But anyway, this disobedience is instinct. It's biblical. We can identify with King Saul. Let's learn from the disobedience of King Saul. King Saul disobeyed because he lacked faith in the Lord. When the multitude of Philistines was preparing to attack Israel, Prophet Samuel told King Saul, okay, wait for me. Wait for me. I will be there in 7 days. Just wait. Just wait. Now, attacking a country is not when it's not easy. You can actually observe the preparation of Russia attacking Ukraine. It did not come overnight. They prepared for many months. Even though America is saying, oh, they will attack, because they know they are preparing already. How many weeks, how many months? And yet, it's kind of like the Philistines were preparing to attack. The spy of King Saul said, Philistines are coming to attack. And King Saul asked Prophet Samuel, what shall I do? Wait for me. I'll be there 7 days. In 7 days, I'll be there. Wait for me. But King Saul was scared. His soldiers scattered. So he offered a burnt offering, and it says in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 10 to 14, just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal. I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You have done a foolish thing, Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord gave you. But now, if you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Well, when we disregard a very simple godly instruction, do you accept also that we deprive ourselves and our families a great opportunity that God had prepared ahead? If the Lord gave you a very simple instruction and you disobeyed, would he give you a much tougher responsibility? See, for seemingly very, very simple disobedience of King Saul, his dynasty over Israel was lost. Saul did not expect that. God was very serious. It's simple instruction to wait. That's very simple instruction. Just wait. What is it? He did not lost anything. The battle has not started yet. All he did was, he just cannot wait. Wait. Saul said, it was foolish for Saul to offer burnt offering because he was not commanded to offer burnt offering. He did what is not commanded. It was from his instinct that he did, and it was rejected. And many times we do that. We do something that we think it is biblical, and yet the Lord did not command us to do, and the Lord would reject that. Saul was instructed to what? Wait for Samuel. But, oh, you are just a prophet. I am the king. He ignored the messenger of God. Saul cannot wait any longer for the arrival of Saul because what? He was frightened. He was scared. The Philistine multitude, they are preparing to attack. And they are already some 5 kilometers away from where they are. 5 kilometers. In just a matter of time, they would be there. But on the seventh day, Saul cannot wait. If he should have waited on the eighth day, until eighth day, then he could have reason. Well, you didn't come on the said day. He said, oh, it's already seventh day, and Samuel has not yet come, so he panicked. Many times we panic because of problem, and we forget the Lord. There are times we are scared. In that our witnessing lifestyle is lost because we panic. As if we are going to battle. Well, witnessing for Christ is a spiritual battle. You're in your workplace, you are actually in the battlefield. You cannot think about that, then you lost the opportunity to witness. Just think of it. When you are with other people, non-believers, it's a spiritual battle. We are instructed to wait for godly signal. Wait before we say something about the Lord. Wait for godly signal. And what is the godly signal first? Witnessing. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Just pray. When empowered, witnessing for Christ is spontaneous and joyful. You do not need to force yourself to tell anything. But if you sense that you are forcing it, it means it comes from our human sinful nature. So when you sense the urgency to witness for Christ, just pray earnestly. Lord, fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit. Just pray. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, will enable you to know what to say. Well, I'm trained in evangelism explosion. You are trained in evangelism explosion. So you start with grace, man, God, Christ, faith. Grace, man, God, Christ, faith. Grace. I need to tell about grace first. I need to tell about, you are thinking, you are memorizing, you are remembering what you memorized, and you miss the opportunity to witness because you think that your training is the most important. It is useful. The most important is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit before witnessing. That empowerment of the Holy Spirit, whatever training that you have, it has never been changed ever. So don't be deceived. In verse 16 and 17, it says, don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God is good, amen? And everything he does is good. God is perfect. And everything he gives as free gift is perfectly good gift. Eternal life is free, is perfect, good gift of God. And God does not take it back after he has given us the Holy Spirit as assurance of eternal life. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you know that once we receive that eternal life, the gift of eternal life, we still commit sin, right? From time to time. It's a learning process of spiritual growth until we can persevere, until we grow mature spiritually. So don't be deceived. And when you are in doubt, there's hesitation to obey. It means we still need to grow in our faith. Remember what it says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. Song based on this passage was one of my most favorite. There are two favorite songs I have when I was a new Christian. He who began a good work in you. When I go to work, I just hum that or sing that over and over again, even if I did not know the exact song, but he who, walking for many miles, going to where I want to go. And the other one is, purify my heart, something like that. Yeah. Refiner's fire. We live in a subdivision. Gilid, it's not inside the subdivision. The subdivision Gilid, that is our address. And we go and walk inside the subdivision where the train is rolling up and down the hills. We just walk up and down the hills every afternoon. And many times I hum that refiner's fire. Those two purify my heart. Refiner's fire and He Who Began a Good Work in You. Those are the things that I like to sing. And I sense like the Lord is with me every way, every time. God never abandons us during spiritual battle. In this time of uncertainty, just be sure that you have eternal life. Just be sure that the Holy Spirit is in you. And remember that God never abandons us during spiritual battle. Pray that Christ comes sooner so that we would not experience what they experience in Europe this time. But as we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we still have time to grow mature in our spiritual life. That is one reason the Lord is not coming yet. He wants us to grow stronger in our faith. And our goal of spiritual maturity is to reach the humility and obedience like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus obeyed God the Father even unto his death. If you can sense that, would I obey the Lord even to my death? And that is the start of reaching the obedience of Christ. Think about that. If the Lord asked me to be a missionary in Ukraine this time, or in Russia this time, will I go? Ask yourself. If you cannot, the Lord knows that if you hesitate, the Lord would not bring you there. Even if the Lord wants to bring you there, you would sense that peace in your heart. There was a time when we were in seminary, the time when it was U.S. attacked Iraq, I think, the time of Saddam Hussein. And the preacher asked, are you willing to go and preach to Saddam Hussein? And that I tried to ask myself when after that chapel service, will I go? And I sense that peace in my heart. I did not expect that he would send me there, but I just imagine myself, will I go? Ask yourself until you sense that obedience in you. Pray, if you are scared, pray that God fill you with the Holy Spirit. If you are scared, it means you need to grow in your faith in Him. The Lord Jesus perfectly obeyed God the Father unto His death on the cross. He experienced our problem common to mankind. He was tempted. Are you tempted to buy a new car, new clothes, or most delicious food? Are you humiliated when you were working at work and you did not know what to do? Were you tortured mentally by what's going on, the pandemic? The Lord was killed too. He was tortured, he was humiliated, tempted, and killed. You are not killed yet. You are alive yet, I hope. And God exalted him to the highest place of glory and honor. The Lord Jesus exemplified that kind of obedience that God would accept. So if we consider ourselves His disciples, we will undergo similar discipline that the Lord had. Apostle Paul advised in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 6. Join me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one is serving as a soldier get entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer, verse 6, should be the first to receive a share of the crop. Now, there's a legend about a servant. If you've been watching Netflix, you might have watched this. There was this servant who rose to prominence because of his kindness. And the king heard of his kindness and assigned him to lead his soldier attack their enemies with the promise that the servant will be promoted to high position in the military if he was victorious. Without any hesitation, without any war experience, he obliged, the servant obliged, but he became arrogant and did not want to listen to the advice of battle-tested soldier. And when the war started, did not have any idea what to do when their enemies surrounded them. So he surrendered to their enemies. Believers, we are servants of the King of Kings, and we need to seek guidance of our commander, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, to win spiritual battles. We are instructed to wait, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of Christ, to be assured of reward he prepared for obedience. There's reward prepared for our obedience. God graciously rewards obedience to his instruction. Instruction and blessing come hands on hands. They are together. Blessing is inclusive to his instructions, to his commands. Hardworking farmers, they wait patiently. It's springtime, and many of you have already started maybe germinating their seeds. We're going to plant this spring. Hardworking farmer expect patiently expect to their harvest the fruit of their labor. Likewise, we obey our Lord Jesus Christ and expect to share in his glory. If you cannot imagine that yet, pray, Lord, increase my faith so that I can expect much share in your inheritance. But of course, make sure that you have received the free gift of eternal life. Have you received the free gift of eternal life? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You may not understand everything, but first thing, Lord, I want you, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. I don't understand everything. Please come into my life. Please give me your gift of eternal life. Give me faith to trust you. If the Holy Spirit assured you of your spiritual birth, here is a practical proof that you have received the Holy Spirit. There is transformation in your life into new creation. Your old lifestyle is gone. A new lifestyle is created in your inner being. The bad things, bad attitude, bad behaviors you have in the past, you would not like it anymore. You would hate it. If you were lazy in the past, oh, I'm so lazy. I hate to be lazy. But what can I do? Masarap matulog. Ang hirap bumangon. Pray, Lord, help me. I don't want to be lazy. Make sure that you have the Holy Spirit of Christ. He can enable you. He created you a new lifestyle in your inner being. In verse 18 it says, let's read. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Wow, that's wonderful. If you can understand that. At the moment when we, by faith, personally believe and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were born spiritually. He's the word of God. He's the word of truth. Jesus Christ, the word of truth, and God considers us to be the first fruit of all that he had created. The first fruit of all he had created. If it was your first time to plant something, you might be so interested to see the first fruit. God created all things, but believers are chosen as precious possession of God. Not the elephant, not the dog, not the cat. Believers. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God's special possession. The word special these days is not very wonderful. When you say, oh, he's a special child, there's somebody, something there. But the Lord says, you are special. Well, praise God, we are special, right? So think about that. If you say that special child, God must love that child. That's special. Among the Israelites, the Lord has chosen priests to serve him in the temple, and the Lord allocated the best part of burnt offering of the Israelites to the priest. When the Israelites go and have offering, they would eat their offering too. But the most precious part, the shoulder part or something, it belongs to the priest. What does that biblical reality mean to us believers? The Lord has chosen believers as royal priesthood to reign with him. To reign with him. So how can we reign? He has already set aside rewards appropriate to our obedience. Rewards for obedience to the Lord includes eternal reward to be awarded in heaven. And do you think that it also includes practical things that we can cherish in this temporary world? Is that possible? Can you believe that? There are rewards prepared for eternal enjoyment and rewards intended for temporal life on earth. Really? Yeah. By faith, the father of faith, Abraham, he was given much of temporal things. Did you know that the Lord appreciates and rewards righteous lifestyle? God is watching everyone to identify believers who follow godly and righteous lifestyle. Really? Yes. The Lord stated in Job chapter 1, verse 8, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, one who fears God and shuns evil. In his time, in his generation, Job was the most righteous person, and the Lord appreciated. Job chose a righteous lifestyle, but his children lived carelessly. The Lord allowed Satan to torment and tortured Job. All the material wealth was destroyed. His children were killed. He had skin disease. His wife mocked him, laughed at him, ridiculed him, and told him, curse God and die. As if physical, emotional trouble were not enough. Then his friends came instead of sympathy, pestered with their insensitive assumption about his lifestyle. You should have done this. Maybe you are like this and like that. That was how they accused Job. The faith of Job was tested to be genuine, and he persevered even in those worst. One reason that the story of Job was included in the Bible, if you haven't had that experience yet of Job, you can never reach that lifestyle righteousness of Job that the Lord was so, he appreciates. The Lord rewarded Job more than what he had lost previously. See, it says in Job chapter 42, verse 10 to 12, after Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortune and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. When you experience that troublesome testing of the Lord and you overcome it, the Lord would bless you more than you expect. Not everyone will be glad for your success. Did you know that? I know that very personally. When you were not very successful before, and now when you trust in the Lord enabled you to be successful, many people would not still appreciate, even actually seemingly Christians. Others wish for your failure. Anyhow, anyway, reward, compensation, recognition, appreciation are essential elements of motivation and aspiration for better performances. If there's no promise of increase of salary or promise of promotion, you would not do your best, perhaps. Why should employees work hard? They expect raise in salary or promotion. Why should students study hard? They expect higher grades or scholarship grants. God desires a lifestyle of righteousness from us. If he requires us, God is perfectly good, far better than all the goodness and kindness of mankind in this world combined. You combine them, God is far more good and kind. After testing of faith has reached the level of perseverance that the Lord had designed for us, or God had determined, he will surely reward us even with practical things that we can cherish and appreciate in this temporary world as God determines it. Could it be raise in salary, promotion, fulfillment of dream? I don't know, but the Lord knows what reward is appropriate for everyone who fully, faithfully obeys him. Are you tired of struggles and challenges that you have been going through? Are you disturbed of the uncertain effect of pandemic to our society? Are you scared by the international disturbances that have been dominating the media? It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord reigns throughout the earth to strengthen those whose heart are fully committed to him." The Lord knows that even the most faithful Christian can be shaken and disturbed by unprecedented, unexpected situation. So when you sense some kind of struggle that may bother you emotionally or mentally because of unavoidable situation, God is waiting for you to seek his help. God is always ready to help anyone who comes to him for help. Our loving and gracious God has prepared perfect gift that commensurate to your confidence in his merciful and loving grace.